is the Go Blue Crew.
Hello, welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, I feel like I say this every time we talk now, but it has been a while, so how are you doing?
At some point, do we just consider this our normal summer cadence?
It is very normal for summer, yeah.
But
I feel weird coming into the show every time the same way.
I just feel like,
how you been?
I feel like it's kind of like a shot or a sign that you miss me. You know, it's like, it's been so long, Derek.
You're not wrong.
It's been so long. I take it sometimes, as like, it's been so long since people have heard such a like decent opinion on something. Like,
I think that's what it is for the most
part. I worry about the time in between for the people, honestly.
Where are they getting their
takes? Where do you go when the going gets tough and the delays get longer? And honestly, at this point, we might as well do it on purpose to keep people waiting. Anticipation, like we talked about the last time we talked. I don't even know if it was last week, week before, 3 weeks ago.
I think it's been 2 weeks.
I will say 2 weeks
is
probably
shorter in that time.
What we miss? A lot. In the world, you talking about? Or like in Michigan sport?
Former. Hold on. I'm going to deliver this. Former President Donald Trump indicted for mishandling of classified documents, Derek. I don't know if you saw this come in on the wire, but pretty serious allegations here.
Are we doing a live?
Apparently some photos.
Is this a live thing right here, right now? Live reporting?
I just saw this come through. I'm reading to you what I'm seeing on my screen right now. The Department of Justice. I'll stop.
Did we talk about Shemmy? Has that happened since, or was that before?
That may have happened before, but we didn't talk
brush
about
it over
it.
As we should. That's it. That's all. That's the only mention. My bad.
That's the only mention, except for this. What the hell? There's got to be some kind of. You're the University of Michigan, right? Supposedly a world-class university with an enormous athletic department, presumably the budget and resources to go ahead and run some kind of simple background check on somebody.
I mean,
but what do I know?
I understand delegation, especially for those who are busy. You know, you can assume Jim Harbaugh has been busy with his staff on the recruiting trail for the class of 2024, probably. Likely to be his best class since he's been a coach. But when you delegate and when that person delegates and when you hire a firm, you have to do your due diligence, and whoever's responsible has to do their due diligence. I think the best part out of all this was the fact that the Michigan Daily gave him a platform for some reason to share a second apology. But then the Daily Sports, a writer, I wish I could call out the name, just with an almost instant response of, yeah, no. And just kind of like competing within. And it definitely feels like whoever was maybe got access to what was written just because of the timing. I mean, either one of the most incredible writers ever, not saying you can't churn out a story in minutes. It's definitely possible. But the rebuttal, you know, the response, I liked it better than some of the, you know, state versus daily news battles when they do the write-offs before the Michigan State game. So, yeah, those are my thoughts. Do your due diligence. Do your job. Don't in a social media era. Don't pass over social media. Don't think of a like as, oh, it's just a like. Like, it was a lot of likes. It was a lot of life.
Yeah, it was not just one out there. No, in a range of subjects too. It was quite
and as
diverse.
As someone who's like managed social media channels, some larger than others, I could see myself maybe in a position where asked to wipe something or asked to go through something. I want to know whoever's job it was to log in to his Twitter and start cleaning up the likes. at what point were they like, oh my goodness, like this is going forever. Like this is a job that can't even be done. Because you start going back and it's like, okay, I got rid of the ones from a month ago. Oh, now there's some for 2 months ago. And you just scroll through the likes. It's like, this is years worth of content. Like there's no quick way to, you know, unlike things. So
yeah. Tough. You know, what I want to know is that search firm hiring? I think I would like to apply and work there.
They pay well?
Seems like one of the more lax jobs you could get.
Flexibility is going to be great.
I bet they adopted the 4-day work week.
Obviously, no reporting out to higher ups, you know, just
no.
You just kind of make a call and no one questions you. And
that's a 100% work from home job, I guarantee
hope you. Skate by.
Main reason we came here today, Derek, was not that. It was to talk about some Heisman stuff. I pulled up odds. The odds on favorite as of right now, according to BetMGM, that'd be Caleb Williams. No surprise there, USC quarterback. You got to get quite a ways down here to J.J. McCarthy at plus 2,500. I'm really interested in some of the names that are above J.J. McCarthy with supposedly better odds, including Joe Milton, presumably Tennessee's starting quarterback. Michael Penix Jr. Had a heck of a season last year with Washington. He's up there. Bo Nix with Oregon, I think also had a little quieter of a good season just because of he's, you know, out there on the West Coast, although that's still puts him in with Michael Penix Jr. and Washington. I'm going to stop talking about the West Coast stuff because I don't think I know what I'm talking about.
You better figure it out, because we're a year away from you need to know at least your California stuff.
We are.
That happened.
We are.
We were talking before the show. What's happened since we talked? You know, sometimes we go so long, and that's why we go so long, because you had to think, like, what even took place? We'll follow up on that, but give me another name you're surprised by.
Yeah.
Above J.J.
Well, you go a few slots down from J.J. McCarthy, and you get to Blake Corum. Right above Blake Corum is Marvin Harrison Jr. A couple spots below Corum is Travion Henderson. Donovan Edwards in here, which I'm not totally surprised by, but I feel like, and I've always felt this way, and I've actually never been vindicated, there's enough of like an excitement wow factor there, depending on the way the offense moves around him and Blake Corum. I just think there's enough there that at some point it wouldn't surprise me if he gets thrown into the conversation, not as like a, you know, we got a new front runner type of thing, but it's just like a quiet sort of, oh yeah, like he's one of the best running backs in the country. He just happens to play alongside slash behind like the other best running back in the country. But I'm just throwing it out there. I wouldn't be totally surprised to see Donovan Edwards' name somewhere in the mix at some point. Although, like I said, I've been saying that and it hasn't happened.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the old, like, you know, you could talk about the Republican Party since we, you know, mentioned Donald Trump. You could talk about prom king or queen or homecoming king or queen, where you've got, you know, a couple of popular choices. Probably going to go to somebody else in this case. Those are both really good running backs, would be popular Heisman choices if they were the lone back. But, I mean, they're going to split the votes, one would say. You split the carries. I think that's where you kind of wish, like they joked about the Dope Walker or the Heisman, like they could split these things. We're probably not going to see much of that ever. But if you look at what they're likely to do as a pair, I don't know. I think there's enough talented athletes and position groups now. Maybe you look at, you know, awards like the offensive line group where it's more of a collective unit. Because to think that, obviously it's a quarterback award. Let's get that out of the way first. But to think that, you know, a Blake Corum last year, you know, injury, and probably Donovan Edwards' success would have kept him from winning it over a Caleb Williams. We can see if Williams goes back to back. But one thing that I noticed, I looked at FanDuel odds. I looked at BetMGM odds. There's a lot of places to get your odds, obviously. But I've been going to some of the sites. Drew Aller is in front of J.J. McCarthy on a couple of sites that I've seen. I'm not, no disrespect at all. Drew Aller actually came out and said the best team he's seen is Michigan so far in his young career. I think he can be a really good quarterback. I think he's going to be a step up compared to last year. But to have him higher than J.J. McCarthy, either one, implies that, you know, Vegas doesn't think J.J. McCarthy is going to be throwing the rock enough and have more of this game manager looking stats if you're looking at box scores. Or two, they're just, you know, the hype is real and this guy is really going to be that good. Another one, obviously, either right before or right after Marvin Harrison. We'll see what happens with Ohio State. You know, they've got FanDuel's got Kyle McCord ahead of J.J. McCarthy. And I get it. Like, if all things pan out for Ohio State or Michigan, obviously Ohio State's quarterback with the weapons that they're going to have, you could see an Ohio State quarterback in the running for a Heisman. But I'm always surprised to see odds on guys, maybe even including Joe Milton, who haven't proved all that much. Because if you look at J.J. McCarthy, outside of two pick sixes, and don't get me wrong, those are huge mistakes, he had a heck of a game in the second half against TCU. So, yeah, you know, we'll see. But you know, I think we both have someone in mind who should probably be on this list. Let me scroll just in case.
Go ahead and scroll.
I've seen him.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised at how low Marvin Harrison Jr. is, at least where I'm looking. Like, that I would think is a, like, he's going to be in New York. And the only reason he wouldn't be is if things kind of fall apart around him, and you can't really see that happening with Ohio State.
That so, or injury, and he sits out, or they're not winning.
I mean, he just puts up crazy numbers. I believe, if I remember right, I mean, last season, his first drop came in the Michigan game. I think they said that on the broadcast at the time.
I'm surprised he dropped the ball against Michigan. I don't even remember that moment.
It's crazy, crazy stuff that he's doing. And to see him kind of, you know, down there lower, I feel like the odds makers here are sort of delaying the inevitable. Like, he's going to be in New York. I feel as confident about him being a Heisman finalist as I do anybody else, because he is such an electric playmaker and he's so exciting to watch. He makes big plays. He's got the combination of, like, being exciting, making big plays, and the stats are also there. It's not, you know, some one-off stuff where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, great catch on the sidelines, went up and contested, caught a touchdown. Like, it's that plus the volume is so good. The stats are there, the highlights are there. I just feel like that guy's going to be in New York, and so why is he down there on this list?
Yeah, and did he make the trip last year? No, C.J. Stroud made the trip.
No.
But very well could have made the trip. Yeah, that I would say to see J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum over Marvin Harrison, or, again, Kyle McCord over Marvin Harrison, I don't know. Odds are always so weird. You know, there's obviously a reason behind them, and I think a lot of times, you know, Vegas nails it. But some of these – I mean, especially with injuries and how long the season is. Again, you know, you see Blake Corum on there, but not Donovan Edwards. You know, Blake Corum gets banged up and Donovan Edwards turns into, you know, 1A. He's going to soar up the list in comparison. So it's just kind of who they put on there, because that's who makes the most sense. But not to take away from Blake Corum or anyone who's on the list, but to not put Donovan Edwards as high seems outrageous to me, especially considering what he did against Ohio State on the road in the absence of a Blake Corum. Obviously a dynamic player in the running game and the pass game. And if he's healthy, again, something that happened since we last talked, played on an injury basically all of last season since the Hawaii game. And we already knew he had a huge cast for most of it. A healthy Donovan Edwards seems scary. So, yeah, I'd like to see his name on there. But again, I think between the two backs, in terms of Michigan's purposes, you're going to see Heisman caliber players at the running back position making consistent plays.
Here's a question for you. Think back to J.J. McCarthy's season last year, which I think you could say ranged from like mediocre to stellar. There was a slump toward the end, and then he really turned it on, minus, like you said, the pick sixes against TCU. And Michigan is a playoff team with that J.J. McCarthy. Does Michigan need like a better, I'll say like Heisman worthy J.J. McCarthy to get over this last, maybe final hurdle to a national championship? Or is the J.J. McCarthy you saw last year basically good enough to accomplish that?
I think you need a better version. I think you need what he showed against Ohio State, and I think you need what he showed against, well, you could say Purdue too. But in the second half against TCU, eliminate the mistakes. He really didn't have that many mistakes. I don't know what Cade McNamara ended up with last year in terms of interceptions. He was the guy who wasn't turning the ball over. And I think through at least 2 to 3 in the semifinal against Georgia, obviously JJ threw 2, maybe 3. I think he had 5 or so total interceptions last year. He had a pretty good season, but when people wonder why he's even a favorite for the Heisman or a top quarterback, you know, they're the box score watchers. You look at his stats, they're not that impressive. They do look like a game manager. But when you see his play on the field in comparison to the year before, when you could actually say Michigan had a game manager, there's a significant difference. And so I think he got a confidence that he didn't have late in the season. I think he will use that title game as a way to improve his game. It sounds like he's bigger. What is good about Michigan's offense, even if you don't have the receiver talent like a Marvin Harrison, you have the two running backs that should be able to take the bulk of the carries. And then when a play needs to be made, like J.J. McCarthy has shown, he can make a play with his wheels. And a bigger body means he should be able to absorb some more hits. But yeah, you need a better player. But J.J. McCarthy has that, the Michael Jordan, the ceiling is the roof. This dude could still blow.
The ceiling is the roof.
This dude could still blow through the roof, for sure. Really, again, take away a couple of pick sixes. I know it sounds insane. I feel like he's going to have some big games. My worry is always you don't need him at all in the first several. So, like, how does he grow, right, in those first games when you could run down every team's throat early on the schedule? So we'll see when he has to have a big moment. Made a big pass against Illinois to dang, what's that guy's name? He just medically retired. Isaiah Gash. I just saw that play on the timeline the other day, like a 4th and 3 or 4th and 4 across the body throw to Isaiah Gash to keep the game alive. So when he's tested, who knows, but I think he'll be a better version of himself than last year. And that probably gets you over the hump. Shall everything else, work out the way you want it to.
Maybe last thing here as we approach 20 minutes, because another thing that gets brought up in these Heisman conversations is like, is the play calling there? Does the offense kind of mold around what's going to be advantageous when it comes to Heisman caliber play? And I don't know if you saw this from maybe a couple weeks ago, but Jim Harbaugh kind of hinted at more of a 50-50 split between run and pass this season. Obviously run heavy last year, and you can take this two ways. I mean, one is, why the heck would you run the ball any less when you've got that backfield? But then the other side of that is you've got a dynamic playmaking quarterback who could absolutely stand to sling the ball around a little more. And so, I mean, a 50-50 split, if that's what ends up happening, and how many times have we seen or heard Jim Harbaugh, do something like this in the spring or summer only to have it not happen? I feel like these kind of play calling things don't pan out for the most part, but let's just say for the sake of argument, that's what happens. 50-50 split. That's got to work in J.J. McCarthy's favor too.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can have a record-breaking season in terms of the Michigan record book. I think the touchdowns is around 25. He wasn't that far off of it last year. Probably would have thrown at least a couple of more in game one, but didn't play much until the second half. what I hate about the 50-50 is you are literally giving fans a reason to moan and groan in the first few games because you know it's not going to be 50-50. And even if it was 50-50, it's because the backup quarterbacks are in and they're letting them sling it around a little bit. So 50-50 against Michigan State and Penn State and, you know, the big game, sure, I guess I can see it. But if the game plan is 50-50, I think that's a great recipe for success. I think it gives JJ ample opportunity to prove himself. But you can't tell me that that's going to be the play call for East Carolina again. On Peacock.
Doubtful. On Peacock.
You think we're streaming Peacock and watching JJ swing it 50% of the time, meaning probably, say it's 80 plays, you think he's going to have 40 attempts?
No.
Does he throw more than 10 times?
No.
Where's the over-under where we can bet on that? JJ McCarthy, 12 pass attempts in week one.
Oh, it'll be out there. I bet.
I'm hitting the under every time.
Okay. No, I think that'd be smart. Last thing, Derek, before we go. The Detroit Tigers, okay, last time we talked, I believe it was like making a run at first place in the miserable AL Central. Well, since then, things have obviously fallen apart here. 1-9 in their last 10. They've lost 2 in a row. Although Miguel Cabrera was, what, a triple shy of the cycle last night?
Oh, vintage.
Wednesday? Vintage Miguel Cabrera.
I think it was the afternoon game before a doubleheader.
Oh, of a doubleheader, you're right. Yeah, so, yeah, Detroit now 7 back of the Twins in the, again, miserable AL Central. Oh, what's the vibe up there in Michigan?
Let me tell you, I went to a cool event this week. I went to an event put on by the DEC and the Tigers, so was able to meet Matt Shepard and Simo and Torkelson. Carpenter, Ross Alk showed up, AJ Hinch was there, Scott Harris, president, baseball ops. So it's cool to see these guys, and what they really provided was a superhuman element to the game. You know, players kind of opened up about just life as a baseball player or life outside of baseball. But what I found extra interesting is because they were coming off of a slump, right? AJ Hinch, when he had the microphone and was being interviewed on stage in front of, I think 300-400 people were there. He did not shy away from the fact that the Tigers were playing really bad June baseball. And he said, you know, they had one of the best Mays they could have imagined. That's kind of what we had talked about. They were hot and then followed up by probably the worst June they could have imagined after that. And so they kind of, you know, took it and, you know, that's the ups and downs of a game. That's the ups and downs of a team who's still trying to make a way and quite a ways away from making an impact. But cool event. And yeah, I mean, disappointed as a Tigers fan. And I think Michigan would love to see some winning Detroit sports more often than we've had the pleasure to in the last decade. But nothing's better than a Miggy home run and to see him get that slap shot celebration with the Wings hat on. Though anticlimactic compared to his home run, good to see. I mean, it's 2023. Miggy's in his final year, and we're talking about him, you know, one hit short of the cycle. That's really honestly not something that I would have expected to even have be a conversation. I for a second there, I was wondering if he'd hit a home run this season. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it would be something to see Miguel Cabrera at his age hit a triple. Somebody would have to like fall down or something in the outfield, but super impressive either way. Hopefully when we come back, Michigan doesn't give us anything too crazy to talk about, but still maybe some interesting stuff. And then shoot, who knows, maybe Detroit rips off a few wins and instead of being minus 86 in run differential, they'll be minus 77 or 76.
I hope something that Michigan basketball gives us a reason to podcast next week. That's all I'll say.
That'd be nice.
You know, we could touch on a Tennessee transfer. But I heard T. Will on Defend the Block with Brian Bosch. Just heard the snippet, didn't listen to the whole thing. Kind of stuttered when he said this, but right at the end of the clip, he said something about like, when we complete the full roster, when we fill the full roster, not like he was going to slip any information, but definitely there's some scholarship slots and probably some late additions, though the pool is very thin. So whether it's a reclassify, whether it's a, you know, a late transfer from a known team, man, we need something to talk about because we're going to stick with football, and that's as we should, but
ride or die.
But I mean, as a Michigan basketball fan, man, we need something because the season is looking chalked before it even starts.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about that kind of stuff. And sorry if you heard all that. That was my cat trying to climb up on my computer.
You remember the day? The days when it was right after we volunteered for VSporto.
At the VSporto Network?
Before we got really big. You lived with, I don't know, probably eight dudes. And
that's back when I could go out to eat and nobody would come up to me. Yeah, I remember those days.
And you used to podcast in a bathroom. With a cat scratching at the door.
Yep. That I did. Those were the days.
That's a rags to riches story.
I didn't do anything to... It's a true rags to riches story. How to do anything you could, you know, to get a quiet area.
I feel like I'm going back to that territory. I've got an awesome office and a great microphone, and I've been up in a guest bedroom with AirPods on lately because a new puppy and a wife making dinner, and I just don't have the man cave setup I need anymore. So I feel like I'm backtracking. Like, I feel like I'm going backwards. So I'm excited to get the old studio set up where I can, you know, actually record and get that crisp audio, because you know nothing makes an opinion even hotter and better than a nice Yeti sportscaster microphone.
Hell yeah, brother. I don't know what that is, but yeah, I can't wait to hear it. We'll catch you next week, hopefully talking about, you know, positive stuff. Maybe we'll take Derek's suggestion and do some basketball, but until then, take care out there. Go blue.